Barnum Financial Group's Director of Advisor Marketing, Ian Carzay, joins the show. Ian is an integral member of the agency, a paid-for-service marketing model within Barnum Financial Group that continues to grow to this day. Ian is here to talk about the concept of personal and professional branding in your marketing efforts, which includes your social media presence, your website design, and overall promotion. You're in for a great show today. I'm Paul Blanco, and this is Small Steps, Big Wins. All right, Ian, welcome to Small Steps, Big Wins. It's so nice to have you on the show here today in the flesh, which is really nice to have you here. And I'm excited to, I just had Elizabeth Heiser, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Barnum, on about 2 weeks ago, and she talked about the agency and the birth of the agency. I'd like you to just tell everyone kind of what your role is on the team, and then let's get into some marketing.
Yeah. Happy to. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. Happy to talk through this. I'm always happy to help educate, you know, advisors on their marketing and what they should be doing and why they should be doing it and utilizing the services that we have in the agency and everything Elizabeth and you talked about a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, Elizabeth talked to the origin story of the agency and why we built it and where it came from. And, you know, with my role in that, you know, Elizabeth kind of talked about how when she stepped back into the CMO role from being chief of staff, and she brought me up into leadership with her and started to build out that model, my role shifted. You know, I spent several, 8 years in the trenches, you know, working with advisors in a generalist capacity, as she kind of talked about. And then when we shifted the model, we moved into a position where I was helping her lead the team from a strategy standpoint, but also the execution of these services that we're now offering, but also into a consulting capacity, working with advisors directly on what they should be doing from their marketing standpoint, and then educating. Obviously, you know, just like advisors meet with their clients, you know, they help them understand what they should be doing with their finances and the tactics that they're implementing and why they should be doing them. I do the same thing with advisors. I sit down with them and talk about their businesses individually and say, where are your goals? What do you want to do? And then help them develop a plan and help them execute on it.
Well, let's dig in on that. I think that, you know, when I meet with advisors and coach them, they always have a business plan for their numbers. They always say, this is how much I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And they kind of think through. But there's certain things like marketing, like you said, consultative and coaching them. Do you teach advisors that like every year you should do a marketing plan and there's a journey? And then what does that look like? And what are some of the tactics and strategies that you are teaching?
Yeah. I mean, it really starts with helping them understand all of the different facets of marketing, right? There's inbound marketing, outbound marketing, which is essentially lead generation versus nurturing their current client list. Like every advisor is a little different. When I sit down with an advisor, I may sit down with somebody who their main focus is to bring in new people, new leads, new clients. But then I sit with more seasoned advisors that they're not trying to get new people. They're trying to focus on their current book, turn that book into a bigger opportunity, become more referable from their book. And they're not looking for the outside lead. So there's vastly different marketing strategies that are involved based off what those goals are. So when I meet with an advisor, we talk through all of that. You know, what are your goals here? And then we kind of help build a model that will cater to what that goal is.
Do many advisors walk in and say, Ian, I need this? Or is it more of, I'm not really sure what to do. I've been at all these meetings. I hear that I should be doing marketing. I know maybe I should be reaching out to my clients more. Maybe I need my website fixed or my brand. Like, how's that all go?
Yeah, usually, I mean, there are some who have a pretty good marketing mindset that have a pretty good idea of what they want to do, why they want to do it. They've thought through the strategy and they come to us to simply help execute. But then there are many, probably the majority, that they're not sure. Maybe they went to a conference and they heard that you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Or maybe they met with their sales leader and they were told, you know, they should be working on certain marketing activities. Or you get the age old question that I dealt with, you know, in the first 8 years that I was here in the marketing generalist category where I had my territory. You sit down with the advisor and their question is, what are the new tactics? What are the new strategies? You know, what are other advisors doing that's working? Which is just a pointless question because everybody's business is different. There could be two advisors that have the same target market, that's selling the same services. One has an established brand and one maybe doesn't yet. Maybe they're still starting out. Maybe they're still building. That one marketing tactic, outbound marketing tactic to get leads or to get business could work very well for advisor number one with that established brand, and then not work at all for advisor two without the brand. So the tactics that are working is such a general question. There needs to be a deeper conversation about, all right, where are we? Where do we need to start? And then what can we look at to get, you know, your business off the ground and get this production going?
Am I thinking about this properly? Like, I'm thinking if I was on video right now, you would see me drawing out this like line, this long line of the life, let's call it the life of an advisor. And then, you know, we use a big thing at Barnum, and I've used the big thing in my life that I probably learned the most in sports. It's called stacking, where you stack one thing on top of the next. So make it up in marketing. I did my website. Now I'm going to get my drip emails going, but I don't stop maintaining my website. Then when I get my emails going, then I'm going to do some seminars to my clients as client, you know, appreciation. Then when I get this, and that all builds on this timeline. Are you able to be, and I guess the question is, are you able to be the architect that kind of knows what their home's going to look like? Mm-hmm. But you're starting with the foundation and then you're growing through it.
Yeah, you'll see most of our clients that we've worked with, you know, we've got many services. I think Elizabeth went through a bunch of them. We've got some subscription stuff that are just simple opt-in execution style things. Then we've got more custom strategies where they're coming to us to help build a plan. That usually moves in phases. And a lot of the time it starts with their website, right? So having an online destination for all of your marketing. A website's the most powerful tool you can have in your marketing because it's the funnel. Everything you do on social media, advertising, emails, that's all top of the funnel activity. You're trying to catch their attention and drive them somewhere.
But I get that. And I love, you know, like we coined the phrase here, a marketing firm that does financial planning. So I love marketing. That was something that was very near and dear to me. But when you make that statement though about a website, do advisors look at you and say, I'm all in, or do they say, what do you mean? Do clients really go to that? And, you know, how does that conversation go?
It usually is mostly an educational conversation. A lot of statistics are thrown out there. You know, I've got a slew of them in my head all the time that I read, and I do a lot of education on myself and keeping up with current trends and whatnot. And, you know, one of the biggest ones is 97% of people are going to Google you before they decide to engage with you. Yeah. So however they found your name, whether they were referred to you, got an email from you, saw an advertisement, first thing they're going to do is Google you. If they're not finding anything, that opportunity is gone.
And by the way, just a general conversation is, I had someone on recently on the show that talked about that. Like, if you're not Googling your clients and having all the data points on mm-hmm. them, and he told a great story about that, how he made a sale because he knew the college and he was able to do the logo yep. or a piece. You should be doing it both ways.
That's absolutely happening both ways. So if they're Googling you and they're not finding anything, that's a lost opportunity. If they're only finding a Facebook page or a LinkedIn profile, it's something, but it's probably not ideal. If you can drive them to I call it land that you own, because Facebook, LinkedIn, you don't own those. Those are just yeah. profiles you have on another platform somewhere. If you have your own website, you can optimize that website to be a true marketing funnel. Get their attention, get them to your website. The language and the structure of your website should work them down to a funnel and to a button, call to action, book the appointment. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for validation. That's the first step of building trust with a client when it comes to marketing is validation. They're going to Google you to validate who you are, that you are who you say you are, right? Yeah. All the scams that are out there now. They're going to check out Barnum. They're going to do a lot of Googling, a lot of education, because everything starts and ends with trust. The more trust someone has in your business and you, the more business you're going to do with them.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a really great point, right? When it's why we came up with the phrase a marketing firm first versus financial planning that's marketing is if you don't see someone, doesn't matter how skilled you are or credentialed, that you're out of the business, right? Yep. So you got to get in front of them. But I love what you said about taking them through the funnel and ultimately getting them to book a meeting without any extra labor on your part as the advisor.
Yep.
Do they get mad when they do that, advisors? They right. actually book a meeting on the website?
No. Sometimes. No, just kidding. No, of course not. But no, that's the ultimate, you know, that's the ultimate game of marketing, is getting people to that point. Right. And, you know, Elizabeth always makes the reference about dating versus marrying, when it comes to clients and your marketing. But when you meet somebody, and you have that initial conversation and you get that appointment, they're agreeing to a date with you, and they may not turn and give you all of their financial life, yeah. Right. They're not, they may not trust you enough. They're not going to trust you enough. To be able to open up their entire financial world to you. But they may, you know, buy a life insurance policy or some immediate band-aid that they might need, the reason they engage with you. But if you have the right marketing model set up where you can build that trust with them eventually over time, you know, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. If you do it right, you're going to turn that little life insurance policy into a much, much bigger opportunity.
Well, we'll get to that on the service model. But, you know, I want to just ask a question. I'm just more curious. Sure. If I go and I meet someone and then I look them up and I go and I end up on their Facebook or their LinkedIn, like you just said, mm-hmm. and I've seen this a lot recently where they have it set up, but there's no activity. I kind of think that's worse because I feel like they were told to set it up. They did. Yep. And you look at like been a member of Facebook since 2017 and not one thing.
Yep.
Is that, am I wrong or
no,
is that a fair statement?
It's a very fair statement. Like I said, it's all about trust. When somebody's Googling you, they're looking for validation. If they find a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page and they hit it and they land on your page and there's zero activity, the trust meter is not moving. It may even go down. They're like, oh, what's going on? Like they're not, are they even, is this real? You know, how many fake profile requests do you see all the time? People, I got hacked. I got this. People are very untrusting still in the digital space. So making sure that you're active and that you have content flowing and that you're building a brand for yourself is extremely important. So having a profile and having no activity is almost worse than having no profile.
Yeah. When you think about that progression, so now you did the website.
Yep.
Let's say I've been in the business for a while. Is the next piece getting their service correct or their drip emails or how's that all? Like, yeah. Where's the next step?
Essentially, once you've built the destination for where you're going to drive people from your marketing efforts, the website, now it's like, all right, what are the marketing tactics we're going to start doing now? Now, if they're looking for leads, we're going to look at their specific target market. We're going to really paint the picture of their ideal client. And we're going to make sure all of the marketing is written, speaking to that specific person. And we're going to do whatever campaigns that they'd like to do. So whether that's paid advertising, whether that's mailers, whether it's, you know, social posts, whatever it might be, that is the focus there. A lot of our advisors here are focused on their book. A lot of our top producers, right, are focused on their book of business, maintaining those relationships, building those opportunities bigger. And that's going to have a much different approach. We're going to talk about how do we stay in front of them? How do you constantly add value to their life outside of the quarterly reviews or annual reviews that you do with them? If they're only hearing from you when it's time for a review, that's a problem. They should be hearing from you constantly.
Well, I saw a stat about that yesterday that if you're only calling your client to do a review, which turns into a sale, and I heard a quote from a client yesterday that you only called me because my annuity was out of surrender and I haven't heard from you in the last 7 years. This was outside of our firm. I was like, wow, that client's pretty savvy and knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want to build on. To keep where you said. So we teach advisors when they come in here to be entrepreneurs, right? They're just starting, not an experienced producer, but you're brand new to the business. Like we've been doing this for a long time. There's many people before us. So a lot of the things you need to do are very proven. But then we say to them after their first couple of years that now you got to become a business owner. And one of the first things that they get taught is you need to hire a staff. And we say to them all the time, when's the right time to hire staff? Well, the minute you thought you needed staff, you're already late, mm-hmm. right? So when I think of marketing and knowing the makeup of your team, you know, you have 11 full-time people on the team there. And I know they're all very functional, but is it safe to say that if I was an advisor today and I'm going through my advisor journey, I start out, and maybe I'm using your service to get my basic things done and there's very like no cost. And then I get to a point, maybe it's 2 years in where I need more marketing. Is it safe to say that now I can go on a subscription model where each year it's very progressive and it's probably like 1/10 in general of the cost. And I've been able to outsource all of that to an 11-person team that's internal, that understands compliance and sees other advisors. I mean, just framing it up.
Yeah, that's essentially the model that you're looking at, right? So most of our young advisors are you know, the entrepreneurs that you're talking about, they're totally good with all of the automated systems that we have, the programs that we run that are part of just being a Barnum advisor. They get access to those programs. And that's all they need at that point. They should be focused on building their credibility with their clients and their prospects in their natural market. They should be working on all that stuff. And then when they get to a certain point in their business, they're going to need more than just the basics. Now, that's why we have different service levels, right? So we've got subscriptions, which offer a more customized approach to your marketing, more targeted approach, more traffic to your website, right? So one of the first things I tell people that are in that phase, the business owner phase, is like, okay, you've had your Barnum profile page, which is not your own website. It's just a bio page on the firm website. We do that for SEO, right? We want to make sure clients find them and associate them to Barnum. Now it's time for a real website. And then once they get that, we're like, all right, now let's start to do some of these programs to drive traffic to that website and get people and grow your brand even more. And then, yeah, like you talked about earlier, stacking. You start with some basic stuff and implement it. You can't do everything at once. You're gonna set yourself up for failure, or you're not gonna have the budget for it. I talk to a lot of young advisors when they're first starting out, and I say, right now you have a lot of time and no money. Eventually, that's gonna start to shift, and you're gonna have no time but money. And that's when you start to invest,
or at least more money.
More money, and that's when you start to invest in your business. You hire the assistant, and maybe you hire and you have some marketing services implemented for you to kind of start growing your business there. And then, you know, our top producers are signed on with us as retainer clients, where we're doing all of their marketing for them. And instead of hiring one person, maybe entry level or mid level for us, whatever the salary might be at that level for the year, they could pay less than that and get 11 experts in all the different areas of marketing.
Yeah, a lot less. And I think that one of the things that gets lost is having that plan. And then when you have the plan, then having someone help you execute that.
Yep.
Versus someone on your team being like more like a marketing coordinator. Someone can probably do that like 2 hours a week if they're working directly with a team like yours. Mm-hmm. To do that. Let's switch gears a little bit. When you think of some of the things that are going on today, you know, we keep hearing this word about it's more digital. Mm-hmm. Like, can you just explain as well as you can to the audience what that means and why is digital different today than, you know, the old days was not as digital as it is today?
Yeah, essentially it just created numerous more channels for marketing, right? In the old days, it was mailers, it was in-person seminars and maybe some looking through the newspaper, like you always talk about
TV
when you started out,
radio.
Yeah, right? So that was the olden days. Then as the digital world expanded, you know, you're talking the birth of social media and the blow up of that over the last decade and a half, 2 decades. You're talking email marketing, which is the master of all marketing right now is email, right? And there's SEO, which is a major, major piece in today's game of marketing, is that people, like I said, are Googling you. They're looking for you. So they need to, you shouldn't have just one result when somebody Googles your name. You should cover the first page in Google. You should be published in articles. You should have websites. You should have social profiles, whatever you can get online so that when somebody Googles you, there are 7 or 8 hits right at the top of the list, or that you are at the top of the list, right? So that's your SEO optimization there. But in the digital space, there's just so many different channels. So you need to have a strategy to be present and to be available. Again, it all starts with validation and building trust. And then once you can get them into your world, onto your website, onto your email list, so that you can continue drip, that's when you start that trust building process to turn those people into clients over time.
Yeah, and we always taught, like, when you bring on a new client, what you ultimately want them to do is when they think anything finance, they think you.
They think of you.
And you have to, I think it takes very tactical skill to just keep dripping on it to do that. So yeah. I got a pretty big question. I'm a top advisor and I'm running my practice and I bought in. I said, all right, you know, I'm going to do a marketing plan every single year with the team. So I work with you and my, you know, maybe my team who's my coordinator. do I, as the top advisor or the visionary for my team, do I have to really be involved in this to drive it? Versus, is it one of those things I just say, all right, here you go, Ian and Mary on my team are handling this, and I have no say anymore? Or do I have to lead through where I want to get to?
That is really, it's a little bit up to you in that case, right? So we do have some advisors that completely trust us to delegate and have either somebody on their team or completely delegate to us to run their marketing for them. Then we have other advisors that want to be heavily involved to make sure that we stay on brand with them. But we do a lot of education on our side to make sure that we understand the brand of the advisor that we're working with and what their tone of voice is, what their target market is, so that we know when we write marketing materials or create content for them, we're doing it in their style that comes off naturally from them, so their clients think it's them, right? So it depends on the advisor and the comfort level they have and want to truly delegate that. Some advisors don't want to delegate. They enjoy that, right? They don't want to take the time to execute, which is why they have us, but they do enjoy being involved in the process and all the stuff that we're doing. And others just don't want to be bothered at all. They want to focus on their client meetings and they say, I just need somebody to do this for me. We consult with them and say, all right, what are your goals and all that? And then we help build them a strategy. And then we say, all right, here's everything we recommend. We could do pieces of it. We could do all of it. What do you think? And they choose what they want to move forward with. They delegate to us and we just begin executing.
Let's talk about, we've talked about a lot of good things, how they can use your team from the start to finish for a lot of things. And the team obviously keeps growing, so that's good. But what are some of the challenges that you encounter, either with building a marketing program for them or working with advisors? What if you could say, I want to get rid of these challenges, what are those?
Yeah, some of the challenges that we face, one is with branding specifically, and inbound marketing. So inbound and outbound marketing are two different things, right? Inbound is considered pull marketing. It's putting content out to position yourself, as you said earlier, as the expert in your network so that when people think anything finance, they think of your name. Putting content out there so that people know they can come to you when they need something. And then outbound marketing is push marketing. That's doing a direct advertisement to try to get somebody to take action and come see you. That's the lead generation versus inbound is usually the branding. So inbound marketing and brand marketing to build your brand, advisors are very analytical. They like the numbers. They want to track their metrics, right? They want to see their production go up and they want to attribute that to something specific. It's very, very difficult to measure. So we could be doing a whole inbound marketing plan. Say an advisor is looking to work their book of business and they want to make sure that their clients are happy, well taken care of. You're providing value to them constantly throughout the year. So we don't have any examples where a client says, you only call me because my annuity is out of surrender.
Well, I guess a good beta test is my clients aren't leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
If my clients aren't leaving, I'm probably doing a good job of keeping in touch with them.
Yep. And, I sat through a presentation not too long ago by a company and they were saying that, in the financial advisors, and you know this, 80% of your revenue is going to come from your top 20% of your clients. So making sure that you're making them feel valued and happy with the right marketing model is going to keep them as clients so that they don't leave, right? So convincing advisors the importance of doing this marketing and having a client touchpoint calendar and a client service model and offering value in that sense and branding yourself constantly over and over and building the trust with everybody. It's important, but it's hard to prove. It's hard to say this is working or not working. We can look at email open rates and see like, look, you're getting great open rates on your newsletter every month. But they could say, well, where's the leads? Where's the appointment? Where's the sale? And it's almost impossible to actually track that back, right?
So educating them of that up front is really important.
Yeah, and you understand it's not even up front, it's continuing.
Well, I think it's kind of like some of the advisors do this with their clients. Like they're doing such a good job that there's nothing to really call the client about. Like everything's moving in the right direction. The client can say, well, I haven't heard from you with any problems, mm-hmm. but we're following the plan. The plan's growing and I think that they have to think about it too.
Yeah, but it's also about adding value to their life in other ways, right? So doing an event that's not even finance related, something that they can take value from. I think financial literacy is a major opportunity in the world today. I think in the last 2 years, Google searches for financial planning and wealth management concepts are up 77% since the pandemic. People are just much more aware and they want to know more about what they should be doing financially. So the financial literacy space is a major contributor. You could be doing a financial plan with somebody and everything could be going well. And maybe you don't have a reason to reach out to them because their investments are good, everything's great. Doesn't mean your clients don't want to learn, right? So adding value to their life by articles, webinars that you're hosting, stuff like that, that's what makes you referable. You may be executing their financial plan great, but when they're being invited every month to an education webinar that's free that they can just attend, then they turn to a friend of theirs and say, I get these invites all the time from these educational things. You should join this one. And then they become a client.
Well, back to what you said, I'm kind of chuckling to myself here because sending out those invitations to all of your clients and only 20 of them attend, but all of them got to see it. Mm-hmm. So they all saw perceived value, even though they didn't come to the webinar. Am I thinking about that the right
Absolutely.
Way?
Absolutely. Just because somebody doesn't attend doesn't mean they didn't appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, think about a wedding. You may get an invite to a wedding and you can't go. Doesn't mean you don't appreciate that you were thought of, that you made the list, right?
It's a good analogy. And I think clients, advisors don't understand that sometimes. I think they struggle with, well, I invited 1,000, only 20 came, but all 1,000 got to see it.
Yep. It's still something of value you're adding to their life. But also think about the fact, the way referrals work, right? Somebody, I may get an invite for an elder care presentation, you know, that the firm's hosting, that the advisor's hosting. Maybe it doesn't apply to me right now in my life. I don't have any need to learn about elder care. But then I'm out for dinner with some friends and somebody brings up something about elder care. And I say, oh, I just recently got an invite from my advisor about a webinar. I should refer you over to him or her so that you can, you know, talk to them about it. They're doing a webinar on it. So it starts conversations. Just because they're not attending doesn't mean they don't find value in knowing that you're offering that stuff to them. Because if you're not offering stuff like that to them, somebody else will.
Well, there's a couple of cool stats that are still relevant today. If you think about the word financial planning became in vogue because people were able to go and be very consultative, sort of like what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And then there's maybe 7 or 8 different products that through their life they should be buying, and planning helps them to do that versus being transactional, right? There's another step that I learned when I was really, really brand new in the business was it takes 7 touches to make a sale.
Yep.
And I was, you know, I'm dating myself a little bit, but I used to cold call, and I'd make the first call, get the meeting, go there. And it was very different back then, where it was not a 2 or 3 appointment to get to the sale. It was 1, and I'd make the sale. And some people could walk out and say, I'm really good. Like, I made the call cold. I got there, closed them. I used to walk out because I believe in the law of large numbers and say, wow, I feel really bad for that guy or lady that made the 5 contacts and gave up. And I benefited because I only had to make 2. I think that's where advisors have to start to believe that it takes 7 no matter what. And if you think of some of the best seminars we have, I'll use a program we have at Barnum called PlanSmart. Think about the concept. They get an invitation, touch 1, workshop 1, workshop 2, workshop 3, workshop 4, 5 touches. Work 6 is a free sit down. 5th session is a free sit down with the advisor, number 6. And then 7 is actually the closing meeting.
Yep.
So it was built with the intent of 7 touches to get a client.
And at the end of the day, it all comes down to trust. You know, we've used that word over and over again, but it's true, right? People,
you're building your trust along that process.
And you build trust at different speeds with different people. You may walk into 1 appointment, click with that person, have a great conversation. They feel comfortable with you immediately. And you do some business with them. Other people, it may take you 6, 7, 8 touches to get to that level with them. So just because maybe you get a lead from Transition Solutions or something, and they right now they have an immediate need, right? They need something to replace their coverage. They buy the Band-Aid policy from you because they need it right now. And then they spend the next several months getting value from you if you have the right marketing model in place where they're getting invites to webinars and newsletters. You're reaching out to them, touching base. They're seeing your name over and over again. And that trust meter is moving up higher and higher and higher to the point where the next time you reach out and say, hey, you know, do you want to regroup and discuss the rest of your, you know, financial life? Now they're like, you know what? Yeah, let's meet, because they've seen the value you can provide to their life. So it's all about trust, and it moves at different speeds with different people.
Well, I try to teach, we're taking the silent objection away with your brand, your website, and then all the drips on them. Yep. They're getting to know you without really knowing you.
Exactly.
So a lot has happened over the last 5 years. I think a lot got sped up with COVID. And like I always say, there was a lot of bad, but there was a lot of good. What's next for you and the team?
I guess where we are at right now is continuously expanding and staying up to date on what's happening in the marketing landscape, because it's constantly changing. What was trending and what the user experience was like or was preferred for websites 5 years ago is much different today, right? People don't read anymore. They skim. So the headlines are important. The buttons and call to actions are important. The layout and colors are important. So that's going to continue changing. Social media is going to continue evolving. Digital marketing is going to continue evolving. So staying on top of all that while, helping our advisors build out a more robust model around themselves and just continuously growing and helping.
That's really interesting too, because I didn't even think about that, right? If you hire someone on your own, they might build a website for you that was in vogue, and now 5 years later, it has to be tweaked and changed. Yep. And if they're not going to different educational workshops outside of their firm, they're not going to be able to do that. And they're not going to have the relevance that a team has, and shifting gears and moving people around on a team that's pretty robust.
Exactly. You're going to get a lot more value from a team than you will one person, for sure. We're continuously educating ourselves. I mean, AI is obviously new in the last year, 2 years. We're working on how do we integrate that to make our jobs more efficient, to help make our products better for our advisors, and to help our advisors continue to make their lives easier and easier, right? So there's always going to be changes and updates, and education and being on the front of that is part of our core, you know, competencies here, is we want to make sure that we're continuously getting in front of that.
Well, thank you. So, listen, in closing on today's show, thank you, Ian, for everything.
Thanks for having me.
On the show and everything you've done. But if you think about the name of the show, you know, Small Steps, if you take small steps on this marketing journey, I promise you over 2, 3, 5 years, you're going to get big wins that you didn't even realize. And you're going to wake up. And I want you to also think about having an org chart and having your vision, and then be able to just take the marketing piece and just stick it there and have it outsourced and have the same efficiencies, but not having to have to manage it and do all the other stuff that goes with it. So Ian, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you to your team. And guys, please share this episode. Go on Spotify, go Apple, anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. Give us a great review and share it with lots of people. So thank you again, Ian.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Thank you for listening to Small Steps, Big Wins. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated. Investments or strategies mentioned in this program may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You should strongly consider seeking advice from your own investment advisor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through qualified registered representatives of MML Investor Services, LLC. Member SIPC, 6 Corporate Drive, Shelton, Connecticut, 06484, telephone number 203-513-6000.